any other way is trying to get in the fold in a manner that will not work. Only through soul perception will you arrive at the realization of life eternal. Only through soul perception do we know God aright. Only through soul perception are we wedded to the Christ. And so let's hold that as our predominant purpose, awakening each day to the quest for soul, above mind, above senses, above matter, above this world, above the human sense of life, and above the human discords of that human sense of life. Knowing that once we have found soul, I, the Christ, stands at the door of your soul knocking. And if you would have me enter your life, you must be standing in your soul to do it. For I, the Christ, cannot enter into human senses or human minds or human lives except through the doorway of the soul. Then what you touch in the soul will show forth in what we call the human experience as the added thing. And all of the grace, all of the principles, all of the law, all of the protection, all of the fullness, all of the indestructible qualities move invisibly in spite of what this world may turn upon you and manifest themselves in the outer, because whatever is perceived in the soul must become manifest in the experience. The soul is its own law. It contains the built-in will and purpose of God. And to say, "Thy will be done," out of a human mind is merely giving lip service to a great truth. Thy will can only be done through the soul. And therefore, I resolutely am willing to lay down my mental and sensual sense of life to wait for that dawning of the soul realization, which lifts me up to that level of consciousness where I can become conscious of the Christ, of the fullness of the kingdom, and be fed by God directly. Now let's rest in that a moment. We'll have a little intermission now. I know it concerns everybody, and yet I'm really surprised to see this question. How to become still, as in be still and know. I know the man who asked this question can answer it himself. Suppose we were to say to somebody, "Here's $1 million, now become still." I feel fairly certain that person would find a way to become still. In other words, there has to be a sufficient incentive. And if the incentive isn't great enough, but the distraction is providing more of an incentive, then we do not remain still. For example, if your life is so built that you are living in a sense of personal self, material self, thinking of yourself as a person with such and such a bank account, such and such a job responsibility, such and such a recreational pattern,
why then you're living in the mind. And the mind is having a material life all spread out before you. And to be still under those circumstances is going to be very difficult. As long as you still accept mind as God, as the ruler of your life, and that whatever the mind says do, you do, you can't be still. There's no you there to tell that mind to shut up. The mind is being you. And without having established a you who dominates the mind, the only you there is that mind itself. And it uses its own will, which is completely different than the will of the Father, to instill all kinds of doubts, concerns, and fears. And so there's a good deal of homework to be done about removing personal fear. If, for example, you fear that your income can go down tomorrow, if you fear that there's a possibility that you can be hurt tomorrow in some way, if you fear that you're getting older, if you fear in some way that you are subject to the laws of this world, you're too busy fearing those things to get still. And the mind, which is in some way consciously or otherwise fearing, is simply a channel for the world fear. There's no possible way for such an individual to really get still. Even that stillness will be a surface stillness. Now, the way provided for stillness was truth in consciousness. And we were told, even in this very chapter, that truth in consciousness enables the mind to be still. Truth in consciousness brings a sense of understanding, which leads to a sense of peace. But where truth does not exist in consciousness, stillness is going to be virtually impossible. I've seen people with very brilliant minds, and others with very active but not so brilliant minds. Neither of them could attain the quietness within because they did not know spiritual truth. Until you know truth, you can't quiet the mind. That's the anesthetic for the mind, truth. And so that is the area which must be strengthened for any individual who finds that I still cannot be still. You do not know the truth yet. You do not even know the letter of truth at this point, because with the letter of truth in consciousness, that provides the peace that in turn opens the way for the inspiration. Now, if I had to start at the beginning, and that's really a beginner's question, that's why I'm surprised. If I had to start at the beginning, it would be this way. If the truth is that God is all and God is spirit, and if I'm not willing to accept that truth, I might as well go no further. You can't turn away from a truth as vital as that and expect to do something else, like realizing the existence of your own soul. And so, where there is an unwillingness to wrestle with truth until you make it yours, the harder part of silence will always remain there. Now, let's suppose you wrestle with truth. Truth says that your name is Spirit. Truth says, blessed are the meek.
truth says the meek are those who, trusting in their spiritual identity, learn to be receptive, not to the mind, but to the harmonies of reality. Truth says anything that is not spirit is unreal. Well, if a child doesn't obey you, you find ways and means to enforce whatever is required of that child. And if the mind is a disobedient child that won't be silent, then you have to still give it more truth and more truth and more truth until it turns to you and says, I understand. For only truth in consciousness will lead to stillness. Now, when we have attained that stillness, we are the meek. We are receptive. We are blessed. And blessed really means Christed. Because when you are receptive to the inner truth, you are lifted to the soul where you are Christed. Now, this is the mystical marriage, then. And it's worth more than $1 million. It's the pearl without price. The mystical marriage reveals that there is nothing unlike God anywhere. That all is God expressing. And that God does know how to run a perfect universe. When God says, blessed are the meek, that means a method must have been provided for us whereby we can be still. God must provide a perfect universe, and therefore every provision in that universe for our soul realization must be at hand. But if we still think of ourselves as a son of matter, God isn't speaking to us. God isn't making any contact with us, and the son of matter is not going to find the new heaven and the new earth. Now, every claim that you can ever make about your problems, whatever its nature, is your refusal to accept the truth of infinite God. There can be no infinite God and your claim as a truth. And so if you have a problem reported to you, which you do not challenge, or a problem which you are reporting, you are saying God is not infinite. And you are also saying that God does not know how to run a perfect universe. But you could start the other way, with the acceptance that God does know how to run a perfect universe. And knowing this to be so is probably one of the prime truths you can accept as a letter of truth. God is running a perfect universe. And therefore, anything imperfect can only be my own misperception of the perfect universe. My misperception is finite sense. And so I don't want to remove God or anything God is doing. I want to remove and change the finite sense which misperceives what God is doing. The minute you find yourself accepting that God is running a perfect universe, you find all kinds of invisible help coming your way. While you're questioning, does God run a perfect universe?
You're being used by universal belief to question the existence of God. And you're acting as an instrument for the Antichrist. So then, you must take yourself to task, accepting that God is present, and then from there we can go into the higher realms of our study. We were speaking of the soul body. Just as your physical body is present in your mind, your soul body is present in your soul. Now, but until you find soul, you cannot find soul body. And so the pearl of great price is that when you find soul, in your mystical marriage with the Christ, you also find the soul body, the Christ body. It is self-luminous. It walks through air, water, fire, and earth without being touched. It moves invisibly, visiting places you know not of on missions of love. It is deathless. And until we become living souls, we do not become at one with our own soul body, which walks through death untouched. So the rewards of the spirit are beyond count. The highest is eternal life. But in this human existence, the rewards of the spirit are already evident in many of our lives. We find that the presence of our soul understanding is already with us. Many of us have glimpsed the soul sufficiently enough to know that we are released from the problems of the flesh when the soul faculties are realized. And even though these may be intermittent in our present levels of experience, enough has happened for us to know that Christ consciousness only comes to earth through the soul. That it is the Father's will that we be perfect, and that the soul and the soul body are already completed and finished and ready and here and waiting for us to live in them as we drop the sense of personal self which constitutes our duality. Only spirit is here. And so God's Spirit interpenetrates everything that we are doing invisibly. Wherever we are, the essence of God is. And as we become soul conscious, this new dimension makes understandable to us this invisible essence which is ever present. You remember that Joel spoke of his life in the body of the soul, how he could sit in a tree and see the birds and at the same time be a bird sitting on a tree branch, how he could sit inside a star or on a star looking at the earth, and at the same time be on earth looking at the star. How he could be the life of a stone looking into the ground, and at the same time the ground looking up at the stone. He explained that in this soul body, in this mystical consciousness, that his life was like a little point, but it was a point that was everywhere. And he looked out of each point. But even those around him he recognized to be his invisible being. That he was the center of everyone's life around him, looking out from within them as the law and grace of their being. In other words, he had come out of the belief that he was 5'2", out of the belief that he was in a place at a time, out of the human sense of things, into a grander vision, into a life which at that moment was the divine life, was deathless, could not be touched by the mental or material powers of this world, and thus was clothed with the robe. We are being lifted to the point where we too are clothed with the robe. You may have had experiences somewhat akin to that clothing with the robe. In Joel's experience, he reports that it's a garment he felt descending. But not a physical garment, a garment of spirit, which descends and which he wore within himself as if to protect from even those still minor remnants of human consciousness that remain. And Jesus wore this robe. The three temptations of Jesus were temptations to take him out of soul consciousness, back into mind. And so you might say that he wasn't being very still at that time, or else how could he be tempted? How could the Antichrist or devil or activity of universal belief enter if he was still? But he could recognize what was happening. He could recognize that this which comes to make me unstill, this which comes to tempt me into human thought, this is denying my identity. This is removing me from the belief that God is all. This is trying to make me feel that I cannot rest on my spiritual identity, knowing that it can be trusted, that it doesn't require human food, that if such food is required, it will show it forth. And so you recognize these thoughts that well up when you're trying to be still as the Antichrist, as the tempters, as the so-called devil, as universal belief, and you've caught it red-handed right in you at the moment while you're concentrating on being still. Here are these thoughts that won't let you. Fine. That's your adversary. Agree with your adversary. How? Well, these are only thoughts. Watch them on the screen of your mind. We've been through that many times. When the mind is jittery and jumpy and fearful, it can think of a million and one things just now. What of it? If you can't overcome mere thought in mind when you know that's all it is, you've got to stay there till you do, because you're not ready for the bigger. Now suppose you could watch that thought long enough on the screen of your mind until one of you loses, the thought or you, until you conquer it, until you overcome it, until the thought subsides and says, I give up, That's wrestling with your adversary. And that's also agreeing with your adversary. You're not reacting to the point where the thought makes you run out and do something. You're staring it down. You're looking straight at it with no resistance. You're even determined that it's going to bless you. And finally, you find you have the power. It may take longer than you'd like to devote to it, but you have the power to overcome thought. And once you do, you feel that great vacuum within. And you know, I have won. Thought is dead. It may come back tomorrow or an hour from now, but right now I have won. I'm in a silence. The prize is too big to lose. The prize is so great that we're told to sell all that we have just to attain the recognition of our own soul. Now we are lifted beyond human limits. We can even understand how a Jesus could bring real food where none seemed to exist and feed people with real food. Why? Soul power. How a Moses could watch the Red Sea part. Soul power. The developed sense of soul, the developed spiritual consciousness, doing it without effort and without humans trying to make it happen. Never think that Moses wanted the Red Sea to part, or desired it to part, or tried to make it part. He was probably as surprised as anyone else. But he knew there is only harmony in the soul. And he rested in the soul, and the harmony appeared in its way at its time. But he wasn't in a human mind. He wasn't in a human mind that could say, how could this happen? He was out of a human mind. He was living in the soul sense, which knows that nothing is impossible because harmony is here and now. Peace is here and now. Truth is here and now. He was in the soul, which knows that all of God is here and now. He was not in the second creation. He was not living as Adam. He was not a re-expression. He was the actual expression of God, and knew it to be so. And the only difference between him and us is that we don't know it to be so, but it is so. The harmonies of spiritual power or soul power are beyond the wildest imagination of any man on earth. Because infinity functions through the soul. There, where God is perfecting all things at all times so that nothing can ever be less than what God wishes it to be. Infinite divine principle is being itself at all times. But this infinite divine principle is invisibly present where we are, right now. Right where we are, spiritual law is functioning. Spiritual harmony, invisible to human senses, is not invisible to the soul. The soul witnesses what God is. The soul witnesses divine principle in action. The soul does not witness the world of good and evil. And your extra dimension of consciousness, then, is the being lifted into that deep silence in which all of the cosmic mind of this world is silent within you. All of it. Now, it isn't easy for a surgeon to take these two pieces of bone and make them just fit perfectly. But somebody's ability to walk is going to depend on that surgeon doing just that. And our ability to walk spiritually depends on the strength of our own determination to accomplish the first miracle of saying no to the cosmic mind and yes to the soul. Now, no clergyman on earth can do this for us. For this is really the beginning of initiation. And it isn't an initiation that comes from an outer ritual. It's an initiation that only you, in your love of God and desire to see God face to face and to know your own being, enables you to wrench yourself away from the power of the human mind as it strives to entangle you. And then you sit upright. And there's nothing in this world that is more important to you than that moment in which you overcome this world of thought. And today you may do it for just a second. Tomorrow another 5 seconds. And tomorrow after that, 10 minutes. But each day you do it, you are rising in consciousness to the place where your soul will give birth to Christ. Maybe another barrier that we don't witness too easily is we're holding on to this fellow at the same time as we're trying to find that soul. You have to have a total willingness to give this one up. The dying daily becomes a very, very important phrase in your life. It has a new meaning to you. If I want to be born in soul consciousness, I've got to die to mental consciousness. And all of this world and the me that is in it and the people I know in it are all that mental consciousness made manifest. I'm leaving this world. I'm not trying to remain it with one foot and go into a soul world too. And that's probably where most of us are hung up. We want to stay in this world. We don't want to leave it. We're afraid if we leave it, there's nothing on the other side. But you see, what we're doing is moving out of this world by transforming it. This world is transformed. And the image that is in the soul shines forth instead of the image that is in the mind. The image that shines forth out of the soul is creation. The image that shines forth out of the mind is this world. Our choice is between living in the kingdom which shines out of the soul or the world that shines out of the mind. And where you make your choice is where you will make the effort to live. Don't you see, when the choice is clear, there's no obstacle anymore. How could anything prevent you if you've made up your mind that you're going to live in the kingdom? It's just when you are completely undecided, unclear on your direction, that your own inner doubt is reflected in your own lack and ability to rise beyond that doubt. Now, for those of us who have no doubt as to where we're going and why, no doubt but that the kingdom of God is exactly where Jesus said it was, within me, and me is not a physical me, me is my soul. Me is the Christ of my own being. And that's where the kingdom of God is. And if I want to find that kingdom, which I do, I'm going to spend more time living in soul that I may receive the awareness of Christ. And that means I must give up something to do it. The time that I put in on soul realization is taken away from the time I was spending in material pursuits. The more time I take away from material pursuits and put into soul realization, the closer I will come to the ultimate attainment of Christ consciousness. Now, Joel put in the time. And whoever is putting in the time always finds that they can go into a stillness more quickly today than they could yesterday. And a more rewarding kind of stillness. Truth to them has become a different kind of truth than when they started. Now they have a feeling for truth. It isn't so much the way words sound. They can feel this is and that isn't. They can hear words from someone else and instantly know the individual is on a different level of consciousness. They can hear the truth and know this is the truth. It speaks with authority. We develop that feeling for truth. But even when we receive the awareness of the presence, we also do reach the point where I am not aware of the presence. But I am the presence. And in those glorious moments when I am the presence, then I am the Father of one. And now truth is your name. It's not a matter of feeling truth or knowing truth. I am the truth. This is being the truth. The truth is deathless, unchangeable, ever-present, even though we do not realize it. Now, if we're going to live in the kingdom of God consciously, we must live in the acceptance of all that is present here now, though we do not see it. Even though we have not attained the soul realization of it, the truth in consciousness that we accept is our step toward the honoring of the invisible Father, the honoring of the invisible Father in all men, the living with love, selflessness, purity, and service opens you up so that truth becomes active in consciousness and leads to the peace or the silence. Witnessing men instead of spirit closes you up. Witnessing claims and accepting them as real closes you up. Every claim is our denial of the presence of God. Every claim is our denial of the allness of spirit. And you can't get around these truths. Only the allness of spirit is acceptable. And the ultimate prize is freedom. Complete and total freedom in Christ. With that as the ultimate, there certainly is enough incentive and motivation for anyone who feels that there's no place to stop in this path. There's only one place to go, and that is to the complete awareness that I am not a mind and a body. And I cannot be satisfied with those limited faculties. But I was given the soul faculties for the purpose of bearing witness to the kingdom. And I must exercise those soul faculties in order to reap the fruits of them. And so tomorrow, when I wake up in a mind and a body, my first task is to rise into soul awareness. I don't care what your problems may be. When you touch the soul awareness, a joy will shiver through your entire being. You will know that your problems were a myth. There are no problems in the realm of soul realization. None. It doesn't matter how black things had looked, or how complete or the lack or limitation was, or impossible the claim. It makes no difference. The only thing missing in all of this work is the realization of the presence of your own soul. That fills every gap. That removes separation from God. That removes the mind's inability to rise above the belief in many powers. All of the impossibles, all of the Red Seas, are split asunder the moment you touch the realm of your own soul. That's why it's called the pearl without price. Now, if we were to start our day that way, you would quickly see that there is a hidden joy for you in every day. Because the soul will then unfold, and that is consciousness unfolding. That is individualized Christ consciousness unfolding from the Father through the soul, completely new every day, in ways you cannot imagine. Changing your life, uplifting your life, redeeming all of the falseness, refining the body, extending and expanding the awareness of the mind. Even in the human plane, much is felt from this opening of the soul faculties. They enter into every phase of your human life dramatically. But they also go before you preparing a way. Translated into other phraseology, you might say that we are dissolving the sense of a human mind and a human body, so that I, the spiritual self, the spiritual body, the spiritual mind, can be revealed as being ever present and here at this moment, while you are rising in consciousness, so that you may find me. I'd like to just part with this phrase in mind. God knows how to run a universe. And if you remember that, and don't set yourself up to the point where you think you know more and a sufficient amount of knowledge that you can say where God did and is making mistakes, then you will find it easier to accept His presence where you stand. You will even find it easier to know that all human beings are imitations of the Christ. But the Christ is there where the human being appears to be. There is a Christ that is you. Only your soul will make you aware of that. Tomorrow might even be later than we should start. Our soul is the only realm where we can live, to live in reality. Why should reality be tomorrow instead of this moment? But make it a habit. Every day upon awakening, that if I go through this day in mind and senses, I'm just saying I'm not interested in God's kingdom in the slightest. I'm not even interested in my own being. I'm just going to be an imitation walking, maybe happily, maybe healthfully, and maybe I'll be financially rewarded, but it won't be the me That is erasing the parenthesis. It'll just be the perishable me who is contented with human betterment. He who eventually is purged. We're not waiting now for any day of judgment to separate the sheep and the goats. We make our own judgment that the sheep enter through the fold, which is the soul. And that is our direction. The harder it is, the more that should spur you to accomplish it. You'll find that when it falls into the right groove, you know it. You'll feel the absence of all universal belief as it tries to come through the dam. It'll swell up all around you, try to move through your mind, but you'll find you have an easy power over it. You can keep it out. You can keep it out easily, at will. And as you do that, the power of the soul will resurrect, reform, regenerate, redeem, and reveal the new heaven, the new body, right where you are. Now, next week is meditation.